going to be discussing tonight some very ancient knowledge. Spoken by a very powerful woman, yet a very humble woman. Her name is Kunti, and according to the ancient Vedic tradition of old India, this knowledge she spoke was about 5,000 years ago. And she's going to give deep insight into the ultimate reality. Those of you who are here on Thursday, we promised that we would head for deeper water. I know some of you weren't here Thursday, but I guess we just lucked out tonight. You get the deep end of the pool tonight. This is an ancient Sanskrit text. I don't expect, of course, that you read Sanskrit, but the sound vibration is very pleasing. The way we ended up Thursday night was that somebody were voicing.
Well,
there's so many ideas, there's so many beliefs, there's so many presentations of what is supreme reality. Who knows what? Who knows? Everyone agreed, for the most part, that there must be something. Beyond just material existence. One person who was here Thursday said, the problem is people take life too seriously. Don't even think about it. Just enjoy the moment. Only one person was here like that. Everyone else agreed. There must be something beyond just the temporary, beyond material actions and reactions. Tonight we're going to get a look at something that I hope you'll think deeply about. This is a verse from the ancient text, Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look at the paper I gave you, I'll read the Sanskrit. Kuntirvacha. Namasye Purusham Tvajam Ishvaram Prakrite Param Alaksham Sarvabhutanam Antarvahir Avastitam. Right beneath it, you see what it means. Kunti Uvacha means Srimati Kunti said. Srimati is an address, meaning a very auspicious person, a very special person. So we're not just hearing from anyone. Now, how do we know that what we're hearing is special? First of all, let's look at the information we're given. She's saying, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. First, let's talk about the original personality. We all accept that there's personality. But how many of us have thought that there's an original personality? When you think of the ultimate source of everything, how many of you think that the ultimate source has to include personality and individuality? When you think of the ultimate source of everything, what do you think of? What might you think of the ultimate source of everything? Never thought about that? Did you ever think that everything might have a cause, an ultimate cause? Did you ever reflect on what that ultimate cause would be like? Maybe one day you were walking in the park or by the beach or something. Sometimes people think about these things when big disasters strike, just like I saw in the newspaper yesterday. How one family, I think in Kabul, was hit with three very major car accidents in the space of a week. You saw that? Yes. A brother, a close relative, died in a car accident. And then, it seemed it was his sister or something like that, was driving back from the funeral with her 6-week-old baby. She had an accident, and she and the baby were thrown out the window in Neighborfield. And then the next day, some other family members had a very serious accident with a very serious condition. All in the space of 1 week. So at times like that, people often wonder, what's it all about? What's the source of all this? And you, did you ever wonder what is the ultimate source of everything? What is it like? Didn't think about it.
Just sort of feelings and wondering about the ideas of the world.
You just thought everything has to have a beginning.
Possibly a reason for that.
Right? So, did you ever think about that verse? This is where God means?
The creator of everything.
Okay. Description? I already know or something. Driver's license number.
Everything that is material and spiritual. Everything that is material.
Material plane and spiritual plane. Ooh, getting exotic here, aren't you? Can you explain what exists on the material plane and the spiritual plane?
Everything material is what we can see and touch and feel with the senses, and anything that's spiritual is what can't be perceived by the senses.
Can you see air? I mean, air is spiritual? Can you see it?
Yeah, you can see it.
Can you see your mind? So is the mind spiritual? Because you can't see it? What about if I take a spoon? God, I do these things. Some people bend it. Take a spoon and you bend it with your some kind of unseen mental or psychic energy. Is that spiritual? Interesting. You brought up this point. Everything comes from God, but sometimes you need more information, doesn't it? You said the Creator. So, any information you can give more about this? Whatever? It's like if I ask information about you. Well, he looks like this, he looks like that, he does this, he does that. So if you're recognizing that there's an ultimate source of everything, then there has to be information about that source, yes? So where do we go for that? Why would you go there?
Because every source, that's one best source of fundamental knowledge.
In other words, we need information if we're going to understand the ultimate source of everything. And it would seem that without that information, we're really living in a disjointed way, disconnected way. Well, anyone else? You ever thought? What is the ultimate source of everything like?
Obviously, the sun is creator.
Creator, what's that? Is it a machine? A microwave oven or something? Or what? You've thought about that before. So what is the nature of this creator?
Nature?
Yeah.
Now that I've learned more about Krishna, the nature of creators, the qualities of them. Knowledge and fine beauty and all those qualities. I wouldn't have known before if you knew more about the theater.
We still need to finish most things. And that's part of the mission.
Wisdom and compassion. Those are personal qualities, yes? So, and what you're saying is that the ultimate source of everything is personal.
I would like to see that people have qualities similar to God. People can have wisdom and compassion and understanding and experience wisdom and compassion. Now that the basic things of God.
So then, all right. Ultimate source, everything is personal. It takes a person to be compassionate.
I would have said around the other way.
Yeah.
I would have said that people can have God-like qualities. I wouldn't have said God has people-like qualities.
Well, when you look at the source of everything, how would you account for the fact that just amongst persons you see, there's personality, there's individuality? How would that reflect or bear upon the source of everything?
Individuality.
In other words, that you see, even just take this room, you see personality, you see individuality. Now, what would be the source of all that?
God is the source of it.
Okay. So if the source of personality and individuality, that source of individuality and personality, then must have personality and individuality, right? If what comes from the source has personality and individuality, then that source must have personality and individuality. Yes? Well, where does all the personality and individuality come from? How can what comes from the source of everything have less than the source itself? Excuse me. No, how can the source have less than what comes from the source?
I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily see that it follows that because there is individuality and differences in people and their characters, that necessarily means that God has personality.
Well, once again, how can this temporary world have something that the source of everything. In other words, the source of everything has to have at least what you see around you and much more. And especially when you talk about compassion and wisdom, these are personal things. You're obviously saying that the source of everything is personal.
I think I'm confused.
You don't have to, they're not going to hold you to it. But just, when you think about what you're saying, that's what you're saying, actually.
That's not a conclusion I reached to.
Ah, but here. Yes, there. But based on what you've said, it seemed to point in that direction, yes. It would be safe to say that.
I'd still go back to what I said to the beginning. People have God-like personalities. God-like. Well, there's a slip. God-like qualities.
Okay, so the reflection in the mirror must be like that which gives off the reflection. Yes? Okay. You might wonder what's so important about this anyway. maybe some of you are thinking, what's the big deal? Ultimate source, personal, or not. I got to live. I got my life. What am I going to do with it? It's the purpose of my life. But what we're discussing tonight is that unless you understand the nature of the source of everything, your life will be out of kilter, it'll be out of harmony. So in order to properly balance your life, in order to properly live a life of fulfillment, you've got to understand what you're living in relationship to. Now this world is full of all sorts of temporary relations, but people like to talk about spiritual. So what is the ultimate spiritual relation? Or if you don't even want to consider spiritual, think about the source of all energy. Whether matter or spirit, what is the nature of the source of everything? How can we live a full life without understanding that which we are a part of? How can there be true pleasure? Just like if this hand is cut off from the body, the hand has no value. As long as the hand is attached to the body, the hand has value. So if we consider our existence in material illusion to be like an amputated hand, we can see how we feel the way we feel. Disconnected, performing so many activities which prove themselves to be meaningless. We just don't feel like we can make a full connection with whatever we're supposed to be connected to.
Yes, that's true.
Unless you understand the source of everything, unless you understand what is the supreme, then life feels like that. Now, it's very easy to write it on the word God. Well, God, the Creator. But then we ask, what is this? What is the nature of God? What is the Creator? No one knows. So here we see an extraordinary lack of crucial information. It's not a question of religious belief. Well, I believe this. What do you believe? Well, I believe that. Just like this morning I was standing outside this building, just looking at the building with some others. And then one man walked by. Are you lost? I said, no, we're just, like looking at this building, like, you don't know where you are. I said, no, we're just checking out the outside of the building. I said something to him. Anyway, how are you today? I said, well, I'm a Christian. I said, okay, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He looked, oh, okay. And he walked home. You know, he immediately announced his belief. You know, I just asked him, "How are you doing today?" Well, I'm a Christian. Praise the Lord. You know, okay, hallelujah. Look, some people tend to think of religious beliefs in that way. Like, well, you got your thing, I got my thing. You might be into Buddha, you might be into Jesus, you might be into Krishna, I'm into snowboarding, you know. Whatever, you know. Just whatever gets you over, you know. So many people have no idea what's going on, but hey, if it works for you, okay, whatever, you know. Even if it works for you for just 5 minutes, that's something, you know. So people stumble from one little thing to another. They really don't know what to do with themselves. But they figure, well, I'll just keep
bubbling around and swapping beliefs and trading this's and that's and swapping relationships, and I guess something's going to happen. I guess I'll bump into something one of these days, or it'll bump into me. But what we're speaking about tonight is a profound lack of knowledge. And we can take some information from Srimati Kunti. As I explained, she's speaking very ancient knowledge, yet very precise knowledge, which is very crucial for our existence today. She's talking about the original personality. Think about that. Could there be an original personality? Okay, your personality, your mother and father personality, your grandmother and grandfather personality. If you go all the way back, do you find an original personality? That is what Srimati Kunti is talking about. That there is an original personality which emanates all the matter and spirit of this world and beyond. This is a challenge to understand that the ultimate source of everything is person. So she's saying, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because, not because I believe, but no, because here is your description. You are the original personality. Then she goes on. You are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. This is very important because generally when we see a person, we see that person is bound up in this world and affected by the influences of this world. But she's saying, you are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. In other words, you have qualities which are not material. Your personal qualities, your individuality is not affected by the material world of time. So this is very significant knowledge. An original personality, unaffected by the qualities of this world. You see, as soon as something's affected by the qualities of this world, then there has to be dissatisfaction and suffering, because this world is ruled by time. Time deteriorates everything. Because of time spoiling everything, you have anxiety. Even the things that you get that you like, you can't hold on to them. So you have anxiety. Time spoils everything. So anytime you're affected by the qualities of the material world, that means you're under the grip of time. But she's saying here, O Krishna, you are the original personality. You're unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You have other qualities, spiritual qualities, which have nothing to do with time and space. Now, do you think that's possible? There could be an original personality who has nothing to do with the qualities of the material world? What do you think?
Well,
the original monkey guy. But monkeys are less intelligent versions of human beings. So then, what's the origin of the monkey personality? Monkeys have personalities. You know that? You see? You can go to the zoo and see. They have personalities.
Huh?
Still, what is the origin of all the personalities? And could it be possible there's a personality that's unaffected by the qualities of the material world? Original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. Within the material world. Alright. Good point. So, what Srimati Kunti is doing is introducing us to the original person who is not a product of the material world. Therefore, it's very interesting what she's saying. You are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything. Yet you are invisible to all. How could there be a personality that's existing within and without everything, and yet you can't see that original personality? Well, you're living in this world. This world is energy. Where does the energy come from? You find out where the energy comes from, whose energy it is, and then yes, you can say you're living inside that energy, which belongs to who? Right. Now, how do we meet that original personality? Especially since Kunti is saying, although this original personality exists both within and without everything, that original personality is invisible to all. Transcend material nature.
I'm not sure if it's the right words, but yeah, it's
transcend material nature. Anyone thought about that before? Transcending material nature? You thought about that?
Yeah.
While you're walking around Wellington? Transcend material nature. Yeah. So what conclusions did you come up with how to do that?
How to do it?
You're walking up Courtney Place and transcend material nature. Yeah?
I think there are many different ways of doing it. I find dancing is a really good way of transcending material.
You go to a club and just...
Not a club, anywhere. And if you, I don't know, connecting with other souls, and giving happiness to other souls is a way of elevating to another level. That's one of the ways that I know.
Now you're talking about souls. Can you
elaborate?
Yeah.
Well, we all have an individual soul.
Really?
I think. No. I believe.
Where is it?
Hmm?
Where is it?
In that, this inside of an atom, tinier, smaller than that, according to Bhagavad Gita. And it's inside the heart.
Yeah.
So that's where your soul, spirit soul is. And we're all individual spirit souls. And the original personality is the supreme soul, which is eternal. And our individual spirit souls are eternal also. So when we leave this material world, it's only our bodies that die, and our individual spirit soul goes into another body. Or if you're very
connected to God. Here's that thing, God, and joins the spirit to God.
So that's what you're hoping for?
That's what to rejoin.
All those things you said.
That's what I'm hoping. Yeah, I'd like to be nice to you.
Okay. So it would then sound like the more knowledge you could get about those things you were saying, the better, right?
Yeah.
More knowledge you could get about the soul, the spiritual world, God.
Yeah. Those things bring peace. Those things bring peace to your life. And they bring peace to my life. So, and what you were saying about being too entrenched in material things, that does cause suffering.
Why?
I see it every day.
Why?
Because you're not connecting with the spiritual source.
Alright, you're not connecting with the spiritual source, but what is the nature of that spiritual source?
Eternal truth.
Eternal truth. Can you give me an example of an eternal truth?
The material world is suffering.
Is the suffering true?
There is suffering.
There is suffering. Is it true? Oh, you're saying it is true that they're suffering.
Yes.
It is true that they are suffering. For who? Who is that true for?
Most
people that you've met.
Well, everyone.
Everyone you've met. They all agree. But they all agree that they're suffering.
Yeah, that would be my observation.
Yeah. And why is there suffering for them?
Why is it happening? It's just kind of
it's like.
I like your talk about something in the Bible when it's not changing.
So, if I may ask, then how would you avoid this suffering? What would you do?
Come to talks about this.
And get questioned, and I just increase the suffering. Must there be suffering? What do you think?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
From what? Like an age group?
Family grief.
Family grief? Family misunderstandings?
Yeah, yeah. But pain's not.
So it makes you wonder, huh?
Yeah.
So, we're talking about eternal truth, and you brought up the point of suffering. But maybe not everyone thinks they suffer, just like she says she doesn't think she suffers. An eternal truth is truth that's true all the time. Past, present, future. All times, all places. Now, well, in order for there not to be suffering for you, what do you think would have to happen?
In order for me not to suffer, I need to give over myself. I need to get over this belief that I am.
Wait a minute, got me confused. Get over the belief that you're this body and that you're a person, or
that I am this image that I have of myself. This man, this
could be more to you than your name, your body? What could be more to you than that?
I think that's what I'm looking for.
How do you look?
That's what I'm searching for. Well, okay. Like I said, I've come to it.
All right. Let's turn back to Srimati Kofi. She's saying, "Oh Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both without, within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all." Why invisible? Why is this original person who's unaffected by the qualities of the material world, who's existing both then and without everything, why invisible? Later, Srimati Kunti will explain that because people's vision is blinded by illusion, they don't actually see the spiritual reality within themselves and all around themselves. They don't see because of, say, trapped in the matrix of illusion. They actually don't see what's going on. Often people wonder, if there's a supreme source of everything, why can't I see that? But people can't even see their true identity. Just like you said, your soul. But who has seen the soul? So if you can't see the tiny, finite soul, what makes us think it's going to be so easy to see the supreme soul, the infinite soul? But there's a way to become qualified. Just like if you're studying biology at the uni, you look into a microscope, unless you're trained in biology, you won't recognize what you see. Any of you ever done that? Yes, you've done? Did you, the first time you looked into a microscope, you understood what you were looking at? Yeah. You have to be trained to understand. Similarly, if you're trying to understand what is the soul, what is God, what is the source of all energy, you have to be trained. Otherwise, something can be right before your eyes. You don't understand what you're looking at. So more important than our sensory perception is getting knowledge to understand what we're looking at, and also knowledge about what we're not able to see. Our quest is actually for the original person. But many people think that it'll be impossible for there to be a purely spiritual original person, because anything that's personal and individual has to be material. Any of you thought like that? Yeah? Oh, you do think about these things. Why did you come to that conclusion? That the source of everything can't be personal or individual, because anything that's personal or individual has got to be material. do you see things? What do you see? How do you see the world and yourself in it? At the deepest level, what do you see?
Mm-hmm. I just see energy.
What kind of energy? That's interesting. Electrical, chemical?
Magnetic.
Yeah, whatever. What do you see? Infrared?
This knowledge that we're able to elaborate on this, I'm working on it. Trying to understand it more. Not about the truth, but about myself. But
yeah, what do you see?
I don't understand.
What do you see?
if a human being is a complete state of confusion, at least for something.
Human being. So you see, you got this body, right? Okay, you're a human being, yes? Female, yes? Okay. You're a New Zealander. Human being, female, French lady. Okay. Anything else? Can you tie down your identity? Anything else to you? Pay your taxes. Is that all there is to you? Is that all you see? Okay, what more is it?
It's a simple but difficult
question. Okay. So you can go. What do you see? My friend is looking there. What do you see?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, no. Ask any medical scientist how much the chemicals in your body are worth.
I haven't asked for anyone. I can only assume, though. Could be less, could be more.
Take a guess. How much do you think the chemicals in your body are worth? Market value. No, you said you are a bag of chemical, we're just going with that.
Yeah, but I mean, to weigh it, I don't know, really.
No, market value, you know? It's not just a weight, you know, the value of the chemicals, you know? Blood, bones, organs. Not very much. Of course, you could sell one of your organs for an organ transplant. But if you're still living, it might not be so good, you know?
It can be a donor, but afterlife,
and while you're living, the value of the chemicals in your body is very little. Very little. Less than 50 New Zealand dollars. Most of it's water! Most of it's water.
70%, I think.
Yes, it's water. It's not even pure water. You can't bottle it and drink it. So is that all there is to you?
Yeah.
Really?
It could be else.
So then what's the, you're going through all this struggle in life just for chemicals that are worth so little?
Yeah.
You might as well just let us, you might as well just let us wash you down the drain. What's the point? What's the reason for all the struggle, you know? Why are chemicals that are so cheap struggling so hard? Well, I don't want another day. Why? When you're washing, you wash dishes and pots at home?
Yeah.
So, you know, all the dishwater goes down the drain? Yeah. Why not? You can also go down and use chemicals, you know? Because if it wasn't lost. So, basically, you have to decide or try to find out beyond belief whether you are the body, whether you're just a bag of chemicals, or there's something more about you.
I think every life has a purpose.
Okay. Name one.
No, that's not the purpose of them to exist. You know, just to exist. I mean,
that's all, just to exist.
What else?
There's a lot of trouble you're going through just to exist, huh?
Yeah.
Should have what? Should have asked them, hey, what are you doing?
No, I said, that's like, I should have asked them for mom and dad, you know, but, yeah.
So,
I had no say in it because I didn't know.
How do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know you didn't have a previous existence? Maybe the trauma at the time of birth and the trauma of your previous death was so severe you don't remember.
Yeah, it could have been like amnesia.
Yeah.
So it's like amnesia, maybe it's temporary.
Do you remember what you did this time exactly 3 weeks ago? Okay, so what's so then why is it so surprising that you might have forgotten, you know, your birth and your previous death? Obviously the memory is very weak.
Yeah. So you're saying that it's just like it's sort of like temporary memory loss, yeah. That I don't remember my past life.
Yeah. It's very traumatic. Not even talking about your previous death, it's very traumatic being born. You seen pictures? Anyone seen pictures of persons being born? Yeah. Maybe some of you are married, and some go to the delivery room and watch their wife having the kid. Anyone hear that? It looked like a particularly, shall we say, an experience you'd like to go through. Can you describe it?
It's not a good smell.
Did your wife say never again after that? You said never again. So it looked like something you just wouldn't want to go through yourself, like hopping out of someone's body with a cord attached and covered with blood and fluids.
That's inconceivable until I actually see my
father. That's inconceivable.
That we were actually born that way. I didn't believe that myself. I knew it was true, but
what did you think before?
I just tried to avoid it.
And what was the nature of the creature's existence within the womb?
I've just been reading the book about it describes what's life in the womb. But before I read that book, I may actually think it was
nice and cozy in there.
Yeah, it was a nice and cozy environment, actually.
Which book did you read?
Oh, I was just reading Beyond Birth and Death.
Ah.
Okay. Where it describes, what it's like inside of the womb. It's been terrifying. Not knowing what's going on.
Yeah, you're totally helpless. You're in this small space, bent over. Totally depend on your mother. She eats something hot, you feel it. She takes some drugs, you feel it. And then, when it's time to be born, you're pushed out. Into a really strange environment. And then the doctor really cuts the cord.
It's you.
So, anyone else seen the birth process? No one in the back? It's obviously something you would want to go through. And obviously it would be quite a bit traumatic. So, most people don't remember their birth. Doesn't mean that you weren't around before you were born. Just means you don't remember. Death is also traumatic. Anyone see anyone die before? None of you have seen anyone die before. Animals. Anyone seen a human being die? What happened? Suffocated. So you're watching. Anyone seen the end? Yeah. It's nothing you'd want to go through. So because the trauma is so great, you don't remember these things. But in this life, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, in this life, you already have experience of changing your body so many times and still your basic personality is there. Right? You've changed your body so many times, right? You have? Yes. Dina? Where's your baby body? Where's your baby body?
Grown up.
Grown up, no. It's changed. You change bodies. Where's your teenage body?
Still 22
years old. It's always changing, but yet you are the same basic person. Same basic person. So even in this life, although you don't remember your past death, you don't remember your birth, even in this life you can see that the body is always changing, yet there's something about your identity that remains the same. That is Krishna's point of view. If you think about that, you'll have strong impetus to understand your existence beyond the body. But now, what Srimati Kunti is talking about is not simply the existence of you, the limited, finite soul beyond the body. She's talking about the Supreme Soul. You are the original personality. You're unaffected by the qualities of the material world. In other words, you have spiritual qualities. You have spiritual individuality. You have spiritual personality. Many people have a problem thinking, how could the unlimited have personality and individuality? Many people think, automatically, as soon as you're talking about personality and individuality, you're talking about limitation. You're talking about material things. This is complete speculation. Basically what they're saying is that, well, all the persons I know, all the individuals I know are limited and temporary. So, if we're going to be spiritual, we've got to get beyond all personality, all individuality. Because all the individuals, all the persons we know, they're temporary and limited. But what Srimati Kunti is pointing out is, he's saying, oh Krishna, you're a person, you're an individual, but you have nothing to do with matter and the material energy in that they don't affect you. She'll explain that Krishna is the source of all energy, even the material energy, but he's not affected by the material energy. You are existing both within and without everything. Yet you are invisible to all. Why is Krishna invisible to all? That's the way Krishna has arranged it, that you can't see him without qualification. That is personalism. If you want to see a person, you have to approach that person in a way that will cause that person to reveal himself. How many of you just reveal yourself to anybody? Did you do that? Some stranger comes up to you, hey, I'd really like to know you. I just want to know all about you. Just tell me everything. Oh, you scream and run off, right? Pull out your mobile and call the police. I just met a man who wants to know everything about me. I never saw him before. Or maybe in France they would consider that very romantic. Sophie? So, anyone here, if you didn't know someone, you had no idea their intentions, their motivations, would you just reveal yourself completely?
Reveal yourself isn't what self.
Just all your intimate secrets, all your, just whatever, however you want to take them.
At times I have done too much, probably just to a stranger, reveal too much about myself. For some reason, yeah.
Fluid. Alright. And you admit it's foolish.
Yes.
Somebody just walks up and says, hey, you know, just want to know all about you. probably guessing.
Yeah, it can be easy to do at times, yeah.
Feeling a hole in the heart.
Yeah.
Tired of being lonely. Maybe this is the one. Maybe it's all arranged by, you know. Synchronicity, it's all. It's all meant to be. It's in the stars. But you admit it's foolish. Anyone here would just voluntarily, someone comes up to you, hey, I just want to know everything about you. Now, none of you would do that. You'd want that person has some qualification, meaning the person has to show that he or she has your good interests at heart before you would speak about yourself. How many of you would just, on a Friday night, go out into the city and just announce, here I am, take me! Anyone do that? Dina? Why not? It's chemicals revealing itself. Yes! Yeah. What is the problem? It's chemicals revealing itself. Here I am, your chemicals. Why not? Why should you be reserved?
I just never thought that I would just go out and just reveal myself.
Just reveal the chemicals. Reveal all the chemicals.
I don't know about in terms of chemicals, but.
Yeah, just go out there, you know? Yeah. Hey, I got some real nice chemicals for you. Why not? How are your chemicals? Maybe we can have a nice chemical reaction.
That naturally takes place.
Yeah, so therefore, why the hesitation?
Just
let the chemicals run together. Why do you have all this compunction? You know, compunction is why all this. Why scruples? This cultural conditioning, huh?
Question that.
You question that?
To protect the spirit itself. That's why you don't just go out and be completely open to everything that's out there, because you don't know the intentions of everybody out there. The more you know somebody, the more you know somebody's intentions, the more you may reveal yourself to them.
In other words, they've qualified themselves, they've won your trust.
Yeah.
In other words, no, even today when things are pretty wild, no one just goes out and just reveals themselves immediately, unless you're a bit intoxicated, right? Because I've been told that that's the reason why people get intoxicated, so they can do things like that and not feel bad. Is that so? You have any experienced persons here? You get intoxicated, you get drunk, and then you can do so many things, and then the next day if anyone points out, well, you did this, oh, it was just the alcohol.
You're still choosing to drink the alcohol.
But it gives you a convenient excuse, right? Yeah. You know, it's just the alcohol. Yeah. Gosh, I don't remember what I did that. Well, you know. It's happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, I don't think you can reveal yourself openly, typically. I mean, well, as far as I'm concerned, I can't reveal myself the same way. And I've got different personalities, that's what the different ways is. But I don't reveal, I can reveal myself a certain way right now, and I can reveal myself differently to my eyes, to some of the people. I don't think there's anything.
woman had changed me to reveal the deepest part of me.
Well, because it's changeable. It varies. It's not.
What would it take to reveal just the deepest extent of yourself? What kind of person would I have to be? What would it take for you to give like the fullest presentation of yourself?
I could, but it would be a try. Later on, I said that, but it's not about me.
But still, at a given time, what would it take? You say you wouldn't do that for everybody. Some stranger comes up to you, hey, I want everything about you. What would it take for you to give the fullest revelation of yourself?
I like pulling up walls. That's
why. You like pulling up walls. Why?
And I like getting people in, but I guess in.
Under certain conditions. So what would it take for you to knock down all the conditions, knock down all the walls? What would it take? What kind of person? What would that person have to do? Obviously, if someone acts in a way to win your confidence, you'll reveal yourself. Isn't that what everyone's experienced? You might have been wrong, you might have been mistaken, but still, at a certain point in time, this person acted in such a way that you said, I don't feel threatened by you, I shall reveal myself in whatever way. So that's exactly what Srimati Kunti Devi is saying. Srimati Kunti is saying, this is what Krishna is doing. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. Why invisible to all? Because they don't have the qualifications to see. Just like you need qualification to see even ordinary things. But to speak of spiritual things, there must be qualification. So the greatest problem today is not religious belief, or it's not New Agey type cotton wool notions. The greatest problem today is people wanting to see the supreme spiritual reality without qualification. For so many ordinary things, if you want to see what's going on, you need qualification. If you want to understand how to deal with electricity, how many here have seen electricity? Anyone here seen electricity? If you want to deal with it, you need qualification. You haven't seen it. You make use of it, but you haven't seen it. You need qualification. Similarly, Srimati Kunti is explaining, if you want to experience the supreme spiritual reality, you need to be qualified. And you need to understand how to act in such a way that the ultimate source of everything will be revealed to you. So this is the basis of what's called in Bhagavad Gita Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of transcendental love and devotion, meaning you, a person, acting in such a way that the Supreme Person, the original personality, becomes revealed to you. Just like you all here know how to act in such a way that someone would start talking more about themselves. Sure, you've all done that? Yes. You've done like that so far? when you first met Rodrigo? Yes. You knew how to act in such a way as to bring him out, right? Bring him out of himself, you know? Huh? But you figured it out after a while. It was a good puzzle, right? A good puzzle for you to solve. Like a crossword puzzle, you know? Easy. How long did it take you to get him to come out? 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? To make some significant progress, a few months. You had to work on it, right? You had to know how to act, behave in such a way that he would. Okay. So if you can understand that, you can understand bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means how to act in such a way, how to behave in such a way that the supreme source of everything reveals his presence. Otherwise, there's this invisibility. As Kunti say, you're existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. Meaning there's a reality that's within us and all around us, but we don't see it because our eyes are conditioned. Our eyes aren't qualified. We can't see the individual soul. We can't see the supreme soul. Now, what is this disease that's affecting our eyes that we cannot see the spiritual reality? That disease is thinking everything around me in this world is meant for my pleasure. This is the vision of a thief. If you know how thieves operate, how burglars operate, everywhere they're seeing opportunities for stealing. You ever know when someone's a thief? They were burglars? So everywhere they look, they see opportunities. Anyone ever been burgled or, you know? What happened? Yeah. And they waited till we were there, right? Yeah. Because they're watching for the opportunity. So, maybe we're like that. Maybe we're all thieves, always watching for the opportunity to get something for ourselves. Would that be possible? And because we have that kind of vision, we can't see the spiritual reality. And we're confused. Because we're always seeing this energy around me. It's meant to give me what I want. My body is energy. My mind is energy. It's meant to give me what I want. But no one's understanding the original person. No one is understanding the source of everything. We're busy just appropriating things for our limited temporary plans. Just catch yourself tomorrow morning when you wake up. And catch yourself how everywhere you look and what's this going to do for me? How's this treating me? This is the vision of a thief. Who's left their window up? Oh, there's a bathroom window that's open. Look at this opportunity for stealing. Here's another opportunity. So, Srimati Kunti is going to make the point that because of this kind of mentality, people don't have the qualification to see the spiritual reality, even though it's within and without, all around them, and within them too. Therefore, although there is an original personality, they don't see. Just like if someone would act very rudely towards you, you would act in such a way that person couldn't see you. you would just kind of disappear. You didn't want that person. You didn't want to be bothered by that person. You could just shut that person out. That's a personal reaction. So similarly, because of the personal reaction of the ultimate spiritual reality, the original person, we can't see due to our unqualified mentality. So Kunti, Srimati Kunti is pointing that out. O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. Invisible because people, due to their activities, don't have the qualifications to see spiritual reality. Okay, any questions?
Is there a way, or are there ways of remembering one's past life or lives?
Yes. You have a mirror at home? Mm-hmm. Look in the mirror. What do you see?
Myself.
What do you see in the mirror?
My face, my eyes, my hair.
You see a body of matter, mm-hmm. Yes? Mm-hmm. That's all you see in the mirror, is a body of matter. Mm-hmm. Mirrors don't reveal any more than that. You see a body of matter. Okay. When you look into the mirror and see a body of matter, you should know for sure you made a mistake in your previous life. Mm-hmm. That's why you have this temporary body of matter that goes through birth, old age, disease, and death. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, you, the spirit soul, shouldn't have taken a material body. But because of misuse of your consciousness, you have this body of matter. Now make the best use of it, especially because you have a human body with its developed consciousness. Use the temporary to get to the eternal. The temporary is unwanted, but still you can use it very expertly to get the eternal. First, recognize who's the proprietor of everything. Otherwise, you'll never be at peace in this world. You'll never be at peace with yourself unless you can understand who is the ultimate proprietor and controller of everything. You'll just make up your own rules. Suppose I come to New Zealand and, you know, I just want to drive on the right-hand side of the road. That's my belief. That's my truth. What would you say? What would you say, Steve? Why not? That's your belief. You believe that way. I've got my own beliefs. You know, we're all different, you know? Who's saying that? It's just different truths for different people, right? Your truth is the left-hand side of the road, my truth is the right-hand side of the road. So what's the problem? No, that's what you said. That's your belief. I'll get to meet a lot of people if I drive on the right-hand side of the road. Face to face. Why you bring a value judgment on it? Don't judge, brother. Be spiritual. You say no. There's a road code, right?
Well, basically, it's that more cause in my life because there's a system set up so it can help.
So, what's the road code for the cosmos? We need to find out what the road code of the cosmos is. If we're going to stop the havoc and dissatisfaction in our life. All right. Very interesting. If you're interested in seeing more of what Srimati Kirti has to say, one of our staff can show you.